If you would turn now in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We will be reading once more. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. But before we do, if you would turn also to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17. Beginning in Genesis chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 7, this is the word of the Lord. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. When no bush of the field was yet in the land and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Apostolic benediction, which closes 2 Corinthians, makes known to us the triune God. It makes known to us the triune God as he is revealed to us in our salvation. As he is revealed to us in our salvation from its beginning to its end. This is a revelation of God to us, a revelation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this revelation concerns not only who God is in relationship to us, but who he is in himself, apart from us. God is eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is revealed to us in history. God is revealed to us in history, but that revelation to us in history reflects who he is outside of history. God is revealed to us in history, but that revelation reflects who He is outside of history, who He is in Himself. In each part of this benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in each part we are reminded that salvation begins and ends with God. Salvation begins and ends with God. Salvation depends upon God. Salvation depends upon God for its meaning. Salvation depends upon God for its accomplishment. Salvation depends upon God for its enjoyment. The enjoyment of salvation being this, the enjoyment of God Himself. Last Lord's Day, our attention was focused upon the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And we were reminded that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, it is not first fellowship between God and man. It is not first fellowship between God and man, but rather it is first that fellowship which God has in Himself from all eternity, which God has enjoyed in Himself from all eternity. It is that fellowship, the fellowship of God, which He has enjoyed in Himself from all eternity. It is that fellowship into which we are invited. It is that fellowship into which we are saved. It is that fellowship into which we enter by the working of the Spirit. We enter in to that fellowship now by faith, and one day by sight. That day when the Lord will say to you, Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the fellowship of your Lord." The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, it is first that enjoyment of God in Himself, the joy that He has in Himself. The fellowship of the Father with the Son in the Spirit from all eternity. Your reward is that joy. Your reward is God Himself. Your reward is an inheritance far greater than anything that can be found in this world. Your inheritance, your reward, is God Himself. The enjoyment of God forever and ever. Thus, the life of God reveals to us the life of glory. The life of God reveals to us eternal life which is life with God. Your hope is revealed to you by God. Your hope depends upon God. Your hope is God. Your hope is the fellowship of the Spirit. Your hope is the application of salvation to you. Your hope that is now unseen, that is to be revealed at the last day. Your hope, your inheritance, it is the fellowship of God in the Spirit. Your hope is entering into that fellowship with Him in glory. This hope, this fellowship, it depends upon God. This hope, this fellowship is revealed to you by God. It is a hope that does not depend upon you. It does not depend upon you for its accomplishment. It does not depend upon you for its meaning. The fellowship of the Spirit, The fellowship of the Spirit. Again, it is the fellowship of God which He has enjoyed with Himself, in Himself, from all eternity. You are brought into this fellowship to enjoy this fellowship. You are brought into this fellowship, into the fellowship of God, to enjoy the fellowship of God. That the fellowship of the Holy Spirit does not depend upon you. That the fellowship of the Holy Spirit does not depend upon you for its meaning. That the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is the fellowship which God enjoys in Himself first. It is revealed to you in the opening pages of Scripture. That the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is first the fellowship which God enjoys in Himself. That fellowship which is your hope, it is revealed to you in the opening pages of Scripture. It is revealed to you as the hope for which you were created. And after the fall, it is revealed to you as the hope in which you are redeemed, in which you are saved. The hope of entering into the fellowship of God. The hope of entering into the joy of the Lord. This hope is revealed to you. This hope is revealed to you in God's being refreshed on the Sabbath day. Now that may seem strange to you, but if you will bear with me, as I so often ask you to, I hope we will see how it is that your hope is revealed in God's being refreshed on the Sabbath day. To understand what it means that God was refreshed on the seventh day, that God was refreshed on the Sabbath day, we must first understand what it means that He rested on the seventh day. What it means that He rested on the Sabbath day, since we read in Exodus 31 that He rested and was refreshed. What then does it mean that God rested on the Sabbath day? What does it mean that He rested upon the completion of the work of creation? Does it mean that He relaxed? Does it mean that He took a nap? Does it mean that He went to sleep? Psalm 121, verse 4. What do we read there? Your Lord, He does not slumber. He does not sleep. Why then does it say that God rested on the seventh day? Does He do so as an example to us? As an example for us? Yes, indeed He does. Does He do so that we might become like Him? Yes, indeed He does. But I would suggest to you that that example, that likeness, is not found in your taking a nap on the Sabbath day. That likeness is not found in your sleeping on the Sabbath day. For that is not what it means for God to rest on the Sabbath day. Rather, for God to rest is for God to enter into His rest. For God to rest is for God to enter into that rest which He made, not for Himself, not for His own benefit, but for man. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made by God for man. The Sabbath was made by God for man as His hope, as His reward. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, to enter into God's rest with Him. What then is that rest? What is that rest of God into which He enters, which He created for man? It is the presence of God in the heavenly places. It is the presence of God seated in the heavenly places. It is God enthroned in the invisible heaven. That heaven which He created, having created all things visible and invisible, it is God enthroned in the invisible heaven which He created. That rest is the dwelling place of God. The rest of God is the dwelling place of God. God's entering into His rest on the seventh day, God's entering into His rest on the Sabbath day, is His entering into His rest, His entering into His dwelling place as the Lord of creation. God's rest is His dwelling place. And what is your hope? What is your hope but to enter into that dwelling place? To behold God there in glory. To behold His beauty forever. The dwelling place of God with man, that is your hope. That is the hope which is revealed to you in the last chapters of Revelation. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. God's dwelling place with man, it is your hope. God's rest. God's rest is His enthronement in His heavenly dwelling place. Your hope is the hope of entering into that rest. Your hope is the hope of entering into His dwelling place. For God then at the end of His creative work to rest, it is for God to enter into that rest, to take His seat upon the throne of heaven. Exodus chapter 40, concerning the construction of the tabernacle. 1 Kings chapters 7 and 8 concerning the construction of the temple. They are helpful to us here. For both the tabernacle and the temple, they were patterned after the creation. They were patterned after the earth with its visible heavens and the invisible heavens. And the construction of both, it is recounted for us in those chapters in creation language. And just as in Genesis chapter 2, we are told that God finished the work of creation. So also in Exodus chapter 40, we are told that Moses finished the work of the tabernacle. And in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51, we are told that the work that Solomon did on the house of the Lord was finished. And what follows the finishing of the work of the tabernacle, what follows the finishing of the work of the temple, it is the same in both places. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Then a cloud filled the house of the Lord. Then the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. What happens following the completion of the tabernacle? What happens following the completion of the temple? It is interpretive of what happened following the completion of creation. It helps us to understand what happened upon the completion of creation when God finished the work of creation. God's resting on the seventh day. God's resting on the Sabbath day. It is there as it is in Exodus 40, as it is in 1 Kings chapter 8. It is His filling the world. It is His filling the creation with His glory as He takes His seat upon the throne in heaven. Even as He filled the tabernacle, even as He filled the temple with His glory, even as He took His seat upon the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place, so also upon the completion of His work of creation, God fills the world with His glory and sits upon His throne. He enters into His dwelling place. He enters into His rest. That day, that rest that is without end. The end of the seventh day, it is not described. It is not detailed for you in Genesis chapter 2 because that day has no end. The rest of God has no end. It continues. It remains. It is revealed for us in Isaiah chapter 6. It is revealed for us in Isaiah chapter 6 as we would expect, having read Exodus 40 and 1 Kings chapter 8. Isaiah is lifted in the Spirit to the invisible heavens. And there he beholds the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple, the seraphim calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And the house was filled with smoke. It is the invisible reality to which the tabernacle and the temple pointed. It is the invisible reality which is described for us in Genesis chapter 2 when God entered into that rest which He created for man. The rest of God on the Sabbath day. It is God's entering into His heavenly dwelling. This rest He created for man as His hope. This rest He created for man as His reward. To enter into that rest with God. God's rest is given as the reason for which His people are to rest on the Sabbath day. God's own resting is given as the reason for which His people are to rest on the Sabbath day. It is revealed as an example to man. It is revealed as the hope of man. Adam in the garden, he had the example of God set before him. God who worked unto rest. So also Adam would have worked in the hope of entering into that rest of God. So that when each week Adam rested from his work on the seventh day, he would have been reminded that this world is not the end, that this world is not my hope, but that God's eternal rest is my hope. The dwelling place of God with men in glory is my hope. The enjoyment of the fellowship of God in glory is my hope. God's resting on the Sabbath day was a revelation to man of our hope. To enter into that rest, to dwell with God forever. As man observed the Sabbath day, he would have been reminded, he was to be reminded of that hope. But this is not all that is revealed to us concerning that day. This is not all that is revealed to us concerning that hope. It is revealed to us on that day that that dwelling with God, that that fellowship with God, that it is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That Sabbath rest is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That Sabbath rest is life in the Spirit. It is revealed to us on that Sabbath day which God created for man. It is revealed to us that He offers us a fellowship which He Himself enjoys. It is revealed to us that He offers a fellowship which He Himself enjoys. Which He Himself enjoys apart from us. He does not offer to us a fellowship which He lacks, as though it depended upon you and not God. It is revealed to us on that Sabbath day, at the end of creation, that God offers to man as His hope a fellowship which God Himself enjoys. The fellowship of God, the fellowship of the Spirit. This hope, this fellowship, it is revealed to us in the refreshment of God on the seventh day, when God was refreshed on the Sabbath day. Now, following our understanding of what it meant for God to rest on the Sabbath day, so also must we interpret what it meant for God to be refreshed on the Sabbath day. What does that mean? What does it mean that God was refreshed? Does it mean that He recovered His strength? Have you not known Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. What then would it mean that God was refreshed? That He rested and was refreshed? This verb is used three times in the Old Testament. Two of those times explicitly concern the Sabbath day. The first is Exodus chapter 23, verse 12. And the second is Exodus chapter 31, verse 17, which we read, which concerns God Himself. That on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. And as His resting was a pattern, was a revelation to His people of their hope, so also I would suggest to you that God's being refreshed was likewise a pattern, an example to His people, a revelation of their hope. Just as the work of God unto rest was a pattern, an example for God's people that does not ultimately concern rest in this world, but that concerns rest in the world to come, so also the refreshment of God is an example, a pattern, that does not ultimately concern refreshment in this world, but refreshment in the world to come. Now, what does it mean to be refreshed in the world to come? And how is that hope revealed to us in God's own refreshment? The Hebrew word that is translated to be refreshed, it may also be translated in English as to take breath. To take breath. When one wants to be refreshed, that is what he does, is it not? He takes a deep breath. To be refreshed may also be understood as to take breath. It is the verbal form of that word in Hebrew, which means breath or life. It is not to breathe out so as to give breath, but to breathe in so as to receive breath. It is not to give, but to receive breath. But how would that help us to understand what it meant for God to be refreshed, who is the giver of all things, who lacks nothing? What could it mean for God to receive breath? Again, remember, it is our hope that is being revealed by God. It is our hope that is being revealed in God on the Sabbath day. In Genesis chapter 2, when we read that God made man, we read that he formed him of the dust. We read that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Man receives the breath of life, and he then becomes a living being. The breath of God gives to man life. But what was this life? It was the life of this world. It was the life of the natural, not the spiritual. It was the breath of the natural body, not the spiritual body. It was the breath of natural life, not eternal life. There is no doubt that this is so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44, concerning the hope of glory, Paul writes that concerning this life, life in this world, even before the fall, this life was given in the hope of the life to come. That bare seed of Adam, the naked seed of Adam, it was sown, Paul says, a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, Paul says, so then there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. What does this mean? it means that Adam received the breath of life in the hope of receiving the Spirit of life. Adam received the breath of this world in the hope of the Spirit of the world to come. Adam received the gift of breath, the breath of this life, the breath of this world, and the hope of the gift of the Spirit of the world to come, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of rest. Again, Adam had God as his example before him. God, who on the Sabbath day rested and was refreshed. God, who on the Sabbath day entered into His glory in the Spirit. Remember the glory of the Lord when it fills the tabernacle. Remember the glory of the Lord when it fills the temple. And what was it revealed? In the cloud. The glory of the Lord was revealed in the cloud. The glory of the Lord was revealed in the cloud that filled the tabernacle. That same cloud that fills the invisible heavens. It was the glory cloud that filled the tabernacle. It was the glory cloud that filled the temple. The glory cloud that covered the tabernacle, that covered the temple. That cloud, a revelation of the Spirit. A revelation of the Spirit who did what at the creation? Of which the tabernacle and the temple were a type and shadow. The Spirit who hovered over the creation. The glory cloud that covered the tabernacle, the glory cloud that covered the temple, it is a revelation of the Spirit. A revelation of the Spirit of God who hovered over the deep at creation. It is a revelation of the hope. It is a revelation of the hope in which you were created to dwell in that glory, to dwell in that Spirit, to enjoy life and rest in the Spirit. As God Himself entered into that rest in the glory of the Spirit. So also that is your hope. To enter into that rest, it is to receive the Spirit. To receive the Spirit is to enter into that rest. As God Himself entered into that rest. As God Himself was indwelt with the Spirit. It was a revelation of our hope. It is a revelation of our hope. Life in the Spirit. The fellowship of the Spirit. Your hope, it is revealed to you by God. Your hope is revealed to you in God. It is the hope of the Sabbath day. It is the hope of the Spirit. But that which Adam longed for, that which Adam worked for, that which Adam hoped for, which he lost in the fall, I proclaim to you this day, you have received. For Christ, in His resurrection, with the Father poured out that Spirit upon His church. By faith, you have received the Spirit, who is the guarantee, who was the down payment of your inheritance until you acquire full possession of it. And so this day, by faith, you enjoy that hope for which you were created. This day, you enjoy that hope for which you have been redeemed, to enter into God's rest with Him, to breathe in not the breath of life, but the Spirit of life. Not the breath of life which passes away, but the Spirit of life which is eternal. The Sabbath day, it is no longer observed in the hope of its fulfillment. For Christ Himself, having accomplished your salvation, Christ Himself has entered into God's rest. Christ Himself has received the Spirit. Christ Himself has become a life-giving Spirit. He gives you that Spirit. He gives you that rest. Rather, the Sabbath day, it is now observed in the hope of its revelation, in the hope of its being made seen. And thus, it still is your hope to neglect this day then, to neglect the Lord's day, the day that belongs to the Lord, the Sabbath day. To neglect this day is to neglect the end for which you were created. It is to neglect the end for which you have been redeemed. It is to neglect your reward, which is very great. Your reward, which is God Himself. Rest with God. Life with God. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit forever and ever. World without end. Amen. People of God, do not neglect. Do not neglect this day. Do not neglect to meet together. Do not neglect to encourage one another as the day draws near. Do not neglect so great a salvation. To God be the glory. Amen. Let us pray.